and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Tuesday. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe joins us in just a bit. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Why is my voice so low today?
Do you have a cold?
No. Probably just the normal hangover. Oh, I'll get, well, because, you know, I'll get to that headline later. Cheers, a glass of wine a day may help you stay slim. I'm always way out ahead of the scientists.
I don't think that's part of your P90X diet.
I'm modifying.
Tony Horton says I can.
Yes, he says I can. He'll be joining me, by the way, in studio in just a couple of weeks. So, oof, I better get training. All right, lots to talk about today. The president gave a campaign-style barn burner of a speech on health care. Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey joins us now to talk about that. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I have to say, I am I'm paid to talk about health care, and I am sick to death about it. I am getting sick of it like most people, but I have to say, you know, the president was fired up and ready to go yesterday. And
he always is.
There you go. But I really did. I got fired up to go, oh, please, let's get this done. What do you think the effect will be or not?
Well, I think that what really needs to happen is to just pass the bill at this point. I mean, you know, we've been talking about it long enough, frankly. And, you know, the question is if we can get the votes. And that's what the House leadership is trying to do, is, you know, try to see if they can get to the magic number over the next week or two.
Well, and that's the thing that, you know, you and I have talked about. We've watched this really ugly sausage being made now for a year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think for those of us on the outside, it really is hard to tell, isn't it? What's happening on the inside, and do they have the votes or don't you? What is your sense of it today?
I think that they're close. In other words, you know, you had a number of House members who liked the original House bill better, as did I, because it had the public option and it had a better, you know, Medicare provisions and, you know, would probably have covered more people. But, you know, the bottom line is that the status quo is pretty bad. And so even though the Senate bill may not have been as good as the House bill, you know, with certain amendments that can be done through reconciliation, it'll be much improved over the status quo because, you know, probably 96-97% of Americans would get coverage. There would be only private plans, but there'd be subsidies for people to pay for them. There would be competition between the private plans, and we would still have Medicaid expansion to cover a lot of people who don't get health care now. So, you know, it's a question of, you know, what's better than the current situation? And I think even the Senate bill as amended is going to be a lot better than what we have now.
Yeah, Congressman, I absolutely agree. You know, that's the thing is, you know, many of us who started from single payer or strong proponents like you and I of the public option, you know, of course you get disappointed. But, I you know, through this whole process, that's what I've come to think is we have got to get something done.
And, Stephanie, I think that my feelings that, you know, this is a lot better than the status quo, or also based on the fact that the status quo is getting worse, a lot worse than I thought it would, frankly. I mean, because of the recession, you just have more people now that don't have insurance, and prices are getting, you know, the annual premiums are going up 20 or 30%. So it's, you know, you really can't sit back and say even status quo anymore. It's worse, much worse today than it was a year ago. And the likelihood is going to get even worse over the next few years because more and more people don't have insurance and can't afford it.
Wow, are you playing with street musicians right now?
No, it's my cell phone. I apologize. Oh, I'm not answering it, but it's ringing.
That's okay. So, Congressman, you were talking about having the votes or not and the fixes. I mean, I guess that what the Republicans are trying to do now is scare House Democrats, correct, into not voting for this, saying you can't trust, they're not going to do this reconciliation bill to fix things in the Senate once the House passes the Senate bill. What do you think?
The idea that we would pass the reconciliation and that the Senate wouldn't, I don't think that's accurate. You know, remember, we had 60 votes. We only lost one because of Scott Brown. And also the reconciliation amendments are not going to change the Senate bill that much, you know. So I don't think that if we pass the reconciliation amendments, we'd have a problem getting it passed in the Senate. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, that's a false concern that the Republicans are spreading.
Right. Congressman, I get frustrated, I must say, you know, because we are so close, as the president said yesterday. Maybe I'm just not understanding what's going to happen with this Bart Stupak thing. You know, again, I don't know how much more clearly the president or Nancy Pelosi or whoever can say it, that the Senate bill prohibits federal funding be used for abortions.
Yeah.
I mean, what does he want, and what's going to happen with that, do you think?
I think at some point, you know, those who have preferred the House language are just going to have to realize that it's not, you know, that the Senate language is fine. I mean, look, Steph, you understand, I'm pro-choice. I would actually vote for federally funded abortions because I don't think there should be any distinction whether you can afford it or not. You know, your ability to have abortion should be protected.
It is a legal medical procedure,
right,
in the United States.
So to me, the difference between these two, I mean, there is a difference, but if you don't feel that the federal government should be paying for abortions, which I don't agree, but if you feel that way, they're not going to be able to pay for the abortions in either the House or the Senate language. So I don't really understand why there's this insistence that you have to go outside, you know, the exchange to buy the abortion coverage, which probably isn't going to exist, as opposed to being able to buy it with your own funds within the exchange. Either way, you're paying for it with your own funds. The government's not paying for it.
Right. Well,
not to mention
the position it puts women in. Going, you
right.
know what?
I think I may
need an abortion,
you know,
so I'd like to buy.
To even be arguing this, because yeah. you know, I think that they should be financed by yeah. the government. But for those who demand that they not be, the language in either bill would prohibit it. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know why it's a big deal.
Well, I mean, I think the specter of thinking that health care could be defeated in the end by Democrats is really, you know, irritating to those of us that have been watching this since, oh, I don't know, Roosevelt, you know, us trying to get health care reform in the United States.
Well, I think that will, you know, that the people that are saying this will come to the same conclusion you have, which is, you know, we need the reform, and even though I may not like the Senate language, it still prohibits federally financed abortions, and so I'll just go along with it. I mean, that's what I hope happens over the next couple of weeks.
Do you find as touching as I do Eric Cantor and Mitch McConnell's concern for Democrats' political prospects? should
well,
health care pass?
You know, when I talk to my constituents or I talk to people in New Jersey as a whole, all I hear, I shouldn't say all, but most of the time what I hear is, you know, the system is not sustainable and I can't afford health insurance and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it if I have it. And so please pass this bill. That's what I get. Now, I'm not saying there aren't obviously some people who don't share that, but it's overwhelmingly supportive. And I think that the only thing that I do notice that's happened is that people who are Republican, you know, have sort of hardened in the sense that there are a lot of people who are Republicans say I'm against this bill, and a lot of people who are Democrats say that I'm for this bill, so that it has become, it does sort of fall along partisan lines. But most people are independent, and again, you know, most of the people that I talk to say pass the bill.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the president said it, I thought, you know, he crystallized it best yesterday. He said, how much higher do premiums have to rise before we
exactly.
do something about it?
I
mean, he cited the Goldman Sachs call where, you know, insurance companies basically are admitting, yeah, we know we'll lose customers if we keep raising premiums,
right.
but we'll still make a boatload of
you
money,
see,
so it doesn't matter.
The problem what's happening now, this is what the insurance companies say, and I mean, I'm sure they're also making a nice profit, but what
yeah.
they're saying, and there's some truth to it, is that during a recession, people who have to buy insurance on their own don't buy it because if they're healthy, they figure they don't need it and they'll forego that and use their money to pay for food or cars or their, you know, their rent or whatever, okay?
Right, right.
And so now the recession has made the situation worse where the insurance pool, the healthy people are leaving and the only people left are the sick ones, and that's why they claim that rates are going up 20 or 30%. Now, there's probably some truth to that. Because think about it. If you're, you know, if you have all these bills that you can't pay because you lost your job or you're not doing as well, you know, you and you're healthy, you may forego health insurance. And that makes this insurance pool smaller with sicker people and more expensive. The only way to change that is to have everybody or almost everybody have insurance, including all the healthy and younger people. And then the rates go down because the pool gets larger. I mean, that's only one factor in cost, but I think that's what's driving these really high costs, these big increases right now. And that's, you know, and this is not going to go away too quickly.
No, absolutely.
No.
Congressman, before I let you go, I hate to pull you into controversy, although that's what we do in talk radio. What's up with this Eric Massa story? This is very so he has resigned.
I really don't know. I'm not, you know, trying to be cute with you. I just don't know.
What can you say? He says that he blames fellow Democrats. The White House pushed him out because he was a no vote on health care. You know, Steny Hoyer's office saying that's completely untrue. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I haven't really followed it that much, to be honest. I guess I shouldn't admit that, but I haven't.
Yeah, listen, you're trying to get us health care, so I'll give you a pass. All right, Congressman Frank Pallone, fighting that good fight as usual on health care and all our other issues. Thanks so much for taking time
all
for
right,
us, Congressman.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Congressman Frank Pallone.
He wasn't going to get in the middle of that.
I always try to get them stuck on a sticky wicket at the end.
He already had his answer for that question planned out, I'm sure.
Before you go, you see how I do that? See how I soften them up, Chris? I just got to get them all comfy.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's okay. That'll be our job, to get down into the What's Up with Eric Massa pit.
Wow.
After the break. Yeah, we've had him on a couple of times. He's seems great, you know, public, or what do you call it, a single-payer guy.
Absolutely.
It's a weird story. That being said, it's a very weird story.
Well, the consensus on our live blog and on our Twitter feed is that he's gone loco.
Yeah, I wish people would give long, damaging interviews like that on my radio show. Did you hear the audio?
Well, that was his own radio show. That was his last broadcast of his radio show.
That's the surest way to get in trouble, is to have 3 hours of airtime to fill every day. Trust me on that.
Remember when we were at the old station, what happened on our last show there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went a little nuts.
Oh, okay, let's... Got to go out with a bang.
Yeah,
you
do.
At least the blaze of glory.
Eric Massa knew that.
If you're going down, take some folks with you. All right. So I think I mentioned, this is, you know me, I get kind of girly and blushy. Not since John Murtha on the show have I gotten this girly and blushy. Tony Horton, who is the trainer on my P90X DVDs, will be in studio with me, in a couple of weeks. So now I'm even more motivated to get going and get ripped on P90X. I've been talking to you about P90X, and I have to say, Chris, I get more just unsolicited emails. People are taking the challenge with Mama. They're telling me how they're doing. That's the greatest thing about it. It absolutely works, so you'll see results. I am. My pants are already fitting better. You pop in a different DVD every day. I have a friend who was saying her friend just started it.
Oh, cool.
And loves it because it's different every day.
Because
it's nothing you get bored with. You know, one day it's going to be strength training, one day cardio, one day yoga. I did the ab ripper over the weekend.
Oh
my God.
Oh, dear God.
You're going to have abs like Demi Moore.
You notice on Skype that I'm chewing carrots.
You're really taking this thing to heart. I'm so proud of you.
Yes. It inspired me. I joined a gym here in New York because, you know, some people like, you know, Tony Horton says on the tape, he says some women like to be leaner, so they like to do more cardio. Some men want to be buffer, so they'll add more weights.
Right.
So it just, I think it inspires you because you're on the program. And I urge you to take it with me. Check this out. I have a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com. Click on that banner ad and take the P90X challenge with Mama. 20 minutes after the hour, what's up with this Eric Massa story?
Yeah.
Talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get delusions whenever you need. Lose all self-control, be just as steel. I get delusions.
Someone sent me a breaking news release. In other news today, Sarah Palin suffers Sharpie stigmata.
Yes. Did you hear that she went used to go across the border to Canada?
Yes, yes.
To get her health care.
Some of their socialized health care.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Guess it was good enough for her then.
Mm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to that story later in the...
Yeah.
All right.
What?
Ooh, maybe she was trying to get away from the insurance company death panels here in America.
What is it about right-wingers that makes them such hypocrites?
I don't know. Listen, we'll get to the Republican California State Senator who was...
Oh.
He votes against the gays a lot. He was... it turns out he's gay. I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let me get to that one first since we're on the... All right, fine. And then I'll go...
Right-wing hypocrites!
And then I'll go to the left-wing scandal story.
Okay.
Because we're fair and balanced. Yeah, we mentioned Senator Ashburn. Pardon me.
From Bakersfield, yes.
Ah, yes. Republican State Senator Roy Ashburn said Monday that he is... Oh, I think we need your bigger, scarier drama sting for that, don't you? Because when you're a Republican, apparently that's the worst thing you could ever be gay.
He's got a little of the gay on him.
Do you think he took several tries before he could say it? Ending days of speculation that began after his arrest last week for investigation of DUI.
Mm-hmm.
He has consistently voted against gay rights measures during his 14 years in statewide office. He came out in an interview at a radio station there in Bakersfield. See, we need to get someone to give us an explosive interview like this. Okay, he said he felt compelled to address rumors he had visited a gay nightclub before his DUI.
Faces.
He also had a male passenger.
Yeah.
Car with him after the
Faces, the premier gay nightclub of Sacramento, apparently
this is what we learned from the story. I guess there were so many,
yes,
so that there is one that's actually the premier gay nightclub. Anyway, he said, I am gay. These are words that have been so difficult for me for so long. He has voted against a number of gay rights measures, including efforts to expand anti-discrimination laws and recognize out-of-state gay marriages. Last year, he opposed a bill to establish a day of recognition to honor Harvey Milk, the slain gay rights activist. Equality California, a group that advocates for expanded gay rights and other issues, says it consistently gave Ashburn a zero rating on its scorecard. Zero, which is hard to... That's hard to get.
Even if you sign your name, you get 5 points.
Check out this rationalization. He said his votes reflected the way his constituents wanted him to vote, not necessarily his own views. Oh, I see. Oh, you represent a bunch of bigots, so that's the way you have to vote. He said, I felt my duty, and I still feel this way, is to represent my constituents, not my own point of view, not my own internal conflict. In the radio interview, he said he is drawing on his Christian faith.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, gays can be Christian, too.
To pray for him. And Christians can be hypocrites, too, as it turns
out. Absolutely.
All right. So that is that story. All right.
We wish him well in the coming out process.
Yes. And then he can stop referring to it as a conflict and start to write vote for equal rights for everybody. How
there
about
you go.
That?
Okay.
All right. Okay. We will. All right. I see you pulled me into that.
What?
When I really wanted to get to the What's Up with Eric Massa story.
We'll get to that after the break.
All right.
Here.
Congressman Eric Massa has resigned today and said that Democrats ousted him because of his no vote on health care. We will talk about all that as we continue 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You look like the classiest, most expensive prostitute ever.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The Dow is down 5.9 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning,
you know,
baby.
I've got a great idea. It's, you know, we have Girls Gone Wild. I want to make a movie, you know, just a fun little project called Republicans Gone Gay. Because I think there's money to be made. There's so many Republicans that have come out lately, you know, on these little rendezvous that they've had, either with meth or just getting a DUI now. It's just, I think it's a great idea. And maybe because, you know, you are in Los Angeles and this is aired there, and, you know, maybe some producer up there would give me some credit.
There you go. All right, Tim. Very good. Pitch away. All right. So this Eric Massa story. Wow. You were saying we've had him on a couple of times.
And he was a great proponent for, you know, single payer.
Well, yeah. So that's sort of, you know, it's a little bit of a conspiracy sausage story. He says the House Ethics Committee is investigating him for inappropriate comments he made to a male staffer on New Year's Eve, that he's the victim of power play by Democratic leaders who want him out of Congress because he was a no vote on health care reform. As you say, because he says it was not liberal enough because there was not.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he admitted on his radio show that he told people what the comments were, and he admitted yes, they were inappropriate.
The problem is, and this is what happens with stories like this when no one really knows. I've seen a lot of reporters on TV say this is the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know if that's true or not, is my point. What?
We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. You know, there was a bunch of people on Morning Joe this morning that were just saying, this is, you know, that obviously they don't sort of buy this. We'll see, but. What he said yesterday is mine is now the deciding vote on the health care bill. This administration and this House leadership have said, quote unquote, they will stop at nothing to pass this health care bill. And now they've gotten rid of me and it will pass. You connect the dots.
I think he's thinking a little highly of himself if he thinks he's the only person that health care reform hinges on.
Right. So a spokeswoman, for Steny Hoyer. Pardon me.
Oh, no. Are you coughing up a lung?
I'm fine.
Do you need a Heimlich?
I'm fine. A spokeswoman for Steny Hoyer said that's completely false. There is zero merit to that accusation. So anyway, but yeah, this is Eric Massa yesterday.
I was set up for this from the very, very beginning. If you think that somehow they didn't come after me to get rid of me because my vote is the deciding vote in the health care bill, then ladies and gentlemen, you live today in a world that is so innocent as not to understand what's going on in Washington, D.C.
From that is Dennis Kucinich, watch your back.
He's
also saying he's going to be a no vote on health care.
There are a few people whose, you know, vote this hinges on, not just Eric Massa's. So, that's a little suspect right there.
This is what he says this hinges on. This is the at this wedding.
The staff member made an intonation to me that maybe I should be chasing after the bridesmaid. And his points were clear and his words were far more colorful than that. And I grabbed the staff member sitting next to me and said, well, what I really ought to be doing is fracking you. And then tousled the guy's hair and left. Went to my room because I knew the party was getting to a point where it wasn't right for me to be there. Now, was that inappropriate of me? Absolutely. Am I guilty? Yes.
Okay, first of all, can I just say, did he say fracking?
Yes, and so now we know he's a
battle. What does fracking mean?
It's a Battlestar Galactica term.
Hazing?
No.
Fracking?
That's what he meant. On the show Battlestar Galactica, they used that word instead of the F word. And so we now know he's a Battlestar Galactica fan.
Okay.
Yes. That's what that is.
All right. So, because I thought fracking, is that a Navy hazing thing? Or does it mean, you know?
It's a Battlestar Galactica thing.
Okay. So, at any rate, that's... But he's saying it's the all. I have no idea. But Politico reports that a Massa aide has said the New York Democrat has been engaged in inappropriate behavior for 8 months. So this is what. And again, you know, I don't know whether that's fair or not to somebody. Chris, you're right. That's what people keep intimating on, you know, Washington reporters and stuff, that there is a lot more out there.
Right.
And whatever.
But we don't know until the ethics investigation.
So is he indicating this was like a joke to another guy?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And
they were all drunk at a party. Yeah, he mentioned gin and tonics and champagne. Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned like a huge number of gin and tonics, which was kind of worrisome.
Yeah. I was like, wow, really?
Wow.
Just got a couple bottles of champagne and you have 15, 20. I'm like, really? Would you be standing after 15 or 20 gin and tonics?
I'm barely standing after about 9.
Representative Massa again.
They will stop at nothing to pass this health care bill. And now they've gotten rid of me and it'll pass.
Well, that's good news.
You connect the dots. They could get anyone to say anything about me concerning anything at all. And, in fact, they did.
Huh. Yeah, this does just seem a little strange, doesn't it, Chris? Like you're saying, he's not the only vote. I mean, the fact that he would say the White House or Democrat are targeting just him,
And there's the Rahm Emanuel story.
Well, the only good news I took out of this, I'm like, really? It is going to pass now? Okay. What about Rahm Emanuel?
Oh, there's the Rahm Emanuel story that he told about how
they were
naked in the congressional gym showers.
Yes.
And
that was odd.
Rahm Emanuel came up to him buck naked and put his finger in his chest and started to intimidate him on health care reform.
He didn't say health care. I thought he said on the budget.
Oh, was it on the budget? Oh, I thought it was
on the president's budget or something. I don't know. Any story about middle-aged men naked in the showers in Washington, I just sort of tuned out. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and Rush Limbaugh, of course, made a joke yesterday that they took the curtains off the House gym showers because of Barney Frank. Because Barney Frank ordered that.
Ha, ha, ha. Gay joke. That's a gay joke.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, Representative Massa about...
Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive.
God, you're right, Chris. That does remind me of our last radio show over the last time we got fired.
Yeah, it really does.
About various radio executives. No, just kidding.
Oh, stop it. We're friends with that
radio
executive
now. If
you're
going to go down, of course we are. It all magically comes full circle in radio. They're not about in politics.
No.
He sounds a little bitter. That is a weird story though, because people don't, and who knows what exactly the truth is. People don't normally talk like that in Washington, It's always, although someone pointed out today, I think on Morning Joe, that it is already suspicious because he said he was stepping down because of cancer. And then it's so when your story keeps changing and then it's like there's this one story just about a wedding, but then obviously there are rumors that there's a lot more stories and it's the tip of the iceberg. And then you're stepping down because the White House pressured you to
Maybe at first he decided to step down with grace, and put that story out there, but now that he's...
That's always a tough line for me, dark side. I'm saying? Dark side, light side. I don't know.
But now that he realized he's being screwed, he's going down swinging. Maybe that's...
Yeah, well, that's what I I've done that too when I'm...
Yes,
you
have.
What I'm saying? Yeah.
You're fired.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I briefly, for a moment, considered class and grace, and then...
Computer says none.
No, that.
And so we played all of the bits that got us fired in the first place.
Exactly. We just thought that people should know what exactly got us fired. So that was we know something about going out with no class. All right.
I was with you for that one. You took me out with you.
And you signed up again.
Yes, I did.
Boy, oh boy.
You are an idiot.
Oh, but a loyal one. God bless you.
Well,
All right. I have no idea how this relates or does not relate to health care. But I'm sorry. I know I'm a hope monger, but I was kind of fired up, ready to go yesterday. When the president was back in campaign mode. He said, I'm fired up, ready to go. I need you to knock on doors, talk to your neighbors, pick up the phone. He when the shirt sleeves come out, Chris, that it's campaign time.
Yeah.
He said, let's seize reform. It is within our grasp. His pitch was part denunciation of the insurance companies. They continue to ration care on the basis of who's sick and who's healthy, and part criticism of his Republican critics. He said, you had 10 years. What happens? What happened? What were you doing? Thank you, the president.
When you're in Washington, folks respond to every issue, every decision, every debate, no matter how important it is, with the same question. Well, what does this mean for the next election? What does it mean for your poll numbers? Is this good for the Democrats or good for the Republicans? Who won the news cycle? That's just how Washington is. They can't help it.
Yep, he said it is time to make a decision. The time for talk is over. We need to see where the people stand. Once again, taking on the insurance company.
This broker said that insurance companies know they will lose customers if they keep on raising premiums. But because there's so little competition in the insurance industry, they're okay with people being priced out of the insurance market because, first of all, a lot of folks are going to be stuck. And even if some people drop out, they'll still make more money by raising premiums on customers that they keep. And they will keep on doing this for as long as they can get away with it. I mean, there's no secret they're telling their investors this. We are in the money.
All right. Are you fired up and ready to go? We are almost at the finish line, or have you lost the will to live? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Back with more on the president's barn burner yesterday and what it will mean or not for health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up. It is Tuesday.
Yee-hoo.
So Boston Globe writer, humorist extraordinaire Charlie Pierce coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. As we, dear God, will you be glad when health care passes and we can stop talking about health care?
If it passes.
It's going to pass.
Okay.
Eric Massa says so.
Oh, okay.
Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie. This Massa thing, what I don't understand is, did this even hit the ethics committee?
It had gone to the ethics committee, but now that Massa has resigned, the ethics committee no longer has jurisdiction over him.
Okay, because I would think that an apology probably would have been enough, and he wouldn't have had to resign. So I don't understand where he's coming from on this. And then
this is, Cindy, like I say, I don't know whether it's fair, but what you keep hearing political reporters say on TV is that there's a lot more out there. So, you know, you would tend to think that his resigning might confirm that, but I don't know.
On his side, or is what he's saying about Rahm Emanuel and all this, is that where this story's going? That's what I'm concerned with.
Rahm Emanuel the son of the devil's spawn? I think that would be hard to determine.
I think that shower story he's trying to float about Rahm Emanuel, I think that story is his hit back on the harassment thing. He harassed me.
Oh.
I think that's where he's going with that. So I just wondered if it had hit the ethics committee, because it just seems like he's just way, well, he's protesting too much is what I think.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. The story just seems to get sort of weirder and weirder. And in terms of determining whether Rahm Emanuel is the devil's son, I guess we'd have to ask Dick Cheney if he's related to
him. Okay, you see what you did there.
Oh, thank you. See what I did there? I made a Dick Cheney devil joke. Richard in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Stephanie, don't you have that sick feeling in your stomach like the roller coaster just won't stop at the station and you just keep going round and round? I mean, you get public option. Oh, no, you don't get anything. Oh, maybe we get single payer. Oh, maybe it's not going to even pass. What the heck?
I know. I must admit, Richard, I've gotten my public option hopes up again. What with, you know, more and more people signing on to this letter. And, you know, a lot of people on our show, like Keith Ellison, the congressman from Minnesota, have asked, why not? If we're using reconciliation, why not get actual competition and actual health care reform?
Oh, whatever they're going to do, come on, just stop the ride and let us off. We're going to lose our cookies here.
Yeah, it reminds me of a couple of cab rides I've had here in New York where it's just like, you know what, just let me out here.
Man. That made me puke.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Yeah.
He can't let you out right in the middle of the West Side Expressway.
Let me out. I don't care if I get the public options. Let me out. Seriously. I have gotten out blocks early because I can't, you know, because they do the stop-start thing. And that is, he's right. That is what the healthcare debate is like.
Well, city driving tends to have a lot of stops and starts.
I'm much like Naomi Campbell. I have repeatedly hit a cab driver in the back of the head by accident. All right.
I can totally picture that. That's the sad thing.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I don't know how my BlackBerry got embedded in the back of your head. All right. All right. The president yesterday took aim at critics who say now is not the time for reform. It's going to hurt your poll numbers. He said, my question for them is, if not now, when? When is the right time? You know, he made a lot of good points. But again, as he said, the time for talk is over. He said the price of health care is one of the most punishing costs for families, for businesses, for government. We can't have a system that works better for the insurance companies than it does for the American people. You know, when I think he, from what I heard, he brought a couple people up with him, you know, whose premiums just doubled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's, I think, went up 40%. He's like, whose paycheck has gone up 40%? Anybody's? He said he rejected those who suggest incremental baby steps on health care, saying they want me to pretend to do something that doesn't really help these folks, and particularly for those of us that think. And he made a good point, too, that this already has gotten so far in the middle.
Right.
He said every proposal has been put on the table. Every argument has been made. The plan that is now being debated is somewhere in the middle, which is true. That's the rub of it, you know. I mean, even he said a long time ago, if you were starting from scratch, you'd do single payer. Well, we're so far from that, and they're still casting it like some socialist plot. Mm-hmm. The president yesterday.
So I'll be honest with you. I don't know how passing health care will play politically. But I do know that it's the right thing to do. It's right for our families. It's right for our businesses. It's right for the United States of America. And if you share that belief, I want you to stand with me and fight with me. And I ask you to help us get us over the finish line these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's campaign mode.
Yes.
That's campaign mode.
Yes. Yes. He said health care is a hard issue. It's easily misrepresented. It's easily misunderstood. So it's hard for some members of Congress to make this vote. There's no doubt about that. But what's hard is what millions of families and small businesses are going through because we allow the insurance industry to run wild in this town. He also hit Republicans for playing politics, specifically naming Mitch McKinless, our good friend. This weekend had said, this will be really bad politically for Democrats. He said, the president said, first of all, I generally wouldn't take advice from him on what's good for Democrats. But putting that aside, that's not the issue here. The issue is not politics. And then he went on to talk about what I was mentioning to Congressman Pallone. He said the other day on a conference call organized by Goldman Sachs, an insurance broker told Wall Street investors that insurance companies know they will lose customers if they keep raising premiums, but since there's so little competition in the insurance industry, they're okay with people being priced out of health insurance because they'll still make more money by raising premiums on the customers they have, and they'll keep doing this for as long as they can get away with it.
Right.
Why, Chris? Because they have no competition.
Exactly. Which is what we're trying to insert
into. What business, anybody listening right now, what business are you in where you can afford to behave that way? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nobody I know that could afford to just go, you know, it doesn't matter how many customers we lose because we're still going to, because customers have nowhere else to go.
Right.
They know that people, in most cases, need to have health insurance if they don't want to go bankrupt, you know, lose their entire life savings, their house, whatever. So, you know, they just figure, you know, they have nowhere else to go. They'll pay the premiums. Or, you know, the amount we raise the premiums will counteract the people we lose. I mean, mm-hmm. President said, how much higher do premiums have to go before we do something about it? When's the right time? Now? The crowd responded, yes. Is it 10 years from now or 5 years from now? I think it's right now.
Computer says yes.
The president. Yes.
Brings down our deficit by up to $1 trillion over the next decade because we're spending our health care dollars more wisely. Those aren't my numbers. They are the savings determined by the Congressional Budget Office.
Thank you. Freebird. That's the thing I think that, you know, people don't get is, how many times can you say it? It is unsustainable, the path that we're on.
Absolutely.
And this does bring down costs. That's the thing that's so disingenuous on the right is trying to say, oh, this is about spending and the deficit. And as he just said, the CBO, it's nonpartisan. It's not something that with somebody that works for the president, and sometimes he doesn't get numbers he likes on certain things. I mean, you can't say that enough. Healthcare reform brings down the deficit by $1 trillion
yep.
over the next decade. I mean, the fact that the Republicans have succeeded, Chris, in casting this as some big government spending thing that we can't afford, let's say it again, it brings down the deficit by $1 trillion over 10 years. So it does control costs, and it brings the deficit down. I mean, it's... Okay, the president talking about Anthem in California.
Just last month, Anthem Blue Cross in California tried to jack up rates by nearly 40%. Anybody's paycheck gone up 40%?
No.
Hey, Thank you. Certainly not yours, Chris.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have to buy you health care.
And I appreciate the health care.
Yes. See that you do. 58 minutes after the hour. All right. Lots to come. Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack, and Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe to talk about all the news of the day as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 10.5 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. All sorts of wondrous things there.
Yes.
You can email us, all their executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Jim, what I really ought to be doing is fracking you. But I'm not. I'm here right now in New York. All right.
Never watched Battlestar Galactica.
I mean, neither.
Well, the old one, occasionally.
I thought fracking was... But, can't that also be, like, friendly fire or something?
No.
That's fragging.
Fragging.
Oh.
That's not friendly fire. That's when you take out your CO.
Yeah.
You take out your own.
That's when you take
officer.
Out your own people.
Yeah.
Pardon me. All right. Gary has a question.
Fragging is murder, basically.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
yeah.
My bad. Yeah. Unlike what Joe Sestak refers to every time he comes on the show, I have not served in the military. So
right.
I don't we need someday
from
any of
him
it.
Know
we need
that.
To correct him on
yeah,
that one of these days.
I just take credit
Stephanie,
for it
know
every time.
From your days in the military.
I'm like, yes. That, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, that fracking is bad. I know that from my days in the military. What?
All right, Gary has a combination hate mail question for us. I can't decide if you and your cohorts are liberals using snark and vulgarity as a come-on, or if you guys are snarky, vulgar people using liberalism to make a living. I can say for sure it's not to make a living, because we are barely
right.
doing
using
that.
Using liberalism to make a living is
never a good idea.
Yeah, yes. that's
I could get about a billion more stations today
ask,
if I decided I'm right-wing.
Ask Rush Limbaugh.
No, we're just naturally snarky and vulgar, but thanks for asking. We're not good. Okay. That seemed to be bothering him.
Hey, you know,
we're not have a lot of time in their hands.
We're not for everybody, apparently.
No. Otherwise, we'd be making a better living at it, wouldn't
we? Yes.
I'm just using liberalism to make a living. Yeah, that's it.
Yes, you'll be sure to be on a million stations if you're a
living
liberal.
Living the dream.
There's so
living
much,
the dream.
There's so much money and power in liberalism.
All right. Drunk Stack, that's why Mama drinks, as you know. Oh, let's see here. Hang on a second. I mentioned this earlier, but, Chris, every story you send me like this, I'm sure to report on. A glass of wine a day can help you stay slim.
Yes.
Forget.
Yeah, right.
So that's why you have the Chardonnay-sicles in your freezer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Forget punishing gym regimes and endless salads. The key to keeping trim could be cracking open the Chianti. Women who enjoy a glass or two of wine a day. I'm in that area.
Yeah.
Put on
somehow,
less weight.
Hasn't worked for me, the wine diet.
Let's see. They put on less weight than those who stick to mineral water or soft drinks. Research shows with red wine being particularly forgiving. The finding from a long-term study of almost 20,000 women. I've been in that informally.
Well, soft drinks are terrible for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the
suggests that the body processes the calories in alcohol differently than those in food. A conclusion could explain why French and Italian women seem to avoid piling on the pounds despite routinely drinking wine with meals. This is such good news. One theory, and I like any
Wait
of them.
Wait a minute. They said that Italian women aren't fat? Have you seen Italian mothers? Come on!
Well, you know, until they hit 40.
Oh, okay, and then they...
One theory for the beneficial effects is that in regular drinkers, the liver develops a separate method of breaking down alcohol with surplus energy turned mainly into heat rather than fat. So if you take in 120 calories from a glass of wine, most will be burned off, but if they come from a slice of pizza, more will be turned into fat. Similarly, the 570 calories in a bottle of champagne. I was like, that's it? Would count less than the 550 plus in a steak or whatever. Drinking red wine in moderation has often been linked with other health benefits. One study found people scored better at something I can't pronounce because I'm too drunk.
reading big words.
Mensokotel. That's the arithmetic
what?
Test.
What?
After being given resveratrol.
Resveratrol.
Yeah, they recommend sobering up before you read this story. This
yeah. Resveratrol is the component of...
Actually, most of the thinnest women I know drink wine, so I don't know. Maybe there is something to that. I don't drink... I don't eat dessert. I like to drink my dessert. Maybe that's it.
Hmm.
Just saying.
What did it say about cheese?
Oh, well, funny you should mention. There is a breaking news. You have to come to visit Mama in New York.
Oh?
Tom asked, does Lavort still love cheese? Breast milk cheese for sale at New York restaurant.
Oh, dude.
Chef makes from wife's excess. This is delicious,
you
Chef.
Can do
what
that?
Is it? It's my wife's... yeah. Well, yes, apparently. It was a little... Look, what the chef sent over.
Tastes like chèvre. Apparently your wife is a goat.
Humans should be less disgusted by human breast milk than they are by breast milk from another animal, you know. But,
I suppose.
But still, I like cheese too much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can I have my listener comedy music? We mentioned, Jim, I don't know if you heard the, you know, that anti-gay Republican... guy from, what's his name? Ashburn. From
Ashburn. State Senator Ashburn, yes.
That guy. He was arrested for DUI after leaving a
gay bar, yes. The premier gay Sacramento gay bar.
The premier gay bar in Sacramento.
Faces.
Yes.
Who knew there were that
with
many?
A unidentified male passenger.
Mm.
As it turns out, he is gay. He's revealed that he is gay. All right, Doug writes, Steph, 12 alibis. He sent me 12 alibis for a Republican caught cruising. Steph, he's assured the press he's still going to vote as if he were a straight bigot, so it's okay. for those carefree days of yesterday when we could only speculate as to why an anti-gay crusader would even be at a gay bar. If only he kept his head like Larry Craig, Ted Haggard, and all the rest, and kept on denying why there's at least a dozen good alibis he could have used right there. A few of them Doug sends along is, would you believe I'm Barney Frank? Number two, God sent me here as a test. Scram before you're hit by lightning. Number three, I'm straight. I just come here for the fabulous banana daiquiris.
Oh, no.
Number four, I'm doing research. Don't blow my cover. Now, if you insist on blowing something.
Oh, hey.
Number five, you can't tell my wife. She thinks I'm out bombing abortion clinics. Oh, thank you, Doug.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Handy dandy alibis.
Yeah, there are lots of closeted gays in the Republican Party, and the ones that are screaming most loudly about the homosexual agenda. Yeah.
I think you know, you guys may remember from my time in the military,
I almost spit coffee on my computer.
I've heard a salty sailor story or two, but this was, did you hear the other Eric Massa story?
What?
There's another
I need some,
shoot
we have
drops?
Some in the Navy, some made Navy music of some sort. Yes, Representative Eric Massa also recounted a misconduct allegation from his past that arose after he walked in on a Navy roommate masturbating.
Oh? Well, that happens on a ship, I'm sure.
Apparently. He says it occurred during Desert Storm. When he was based on a ship in the Persian Gulf, he was. He said one day he came back early to the small room he shared with another crew member. He said, I arrived back early from that and opened the door, and not to put quite a light on it, but the other gentleman was busy remembering his spouse. Isn't that delicate for a sailor? And I'll let your imagination run wild. I walked in, and instead of embarrassing him, I smacked him on the leg and said, you need any help with that? Let me know.
Oh, okay. And that was a little...
And I went to bed. Is that a normal thing, Jim?
No.
You walked in another...
You give another person... You give the other person their privacy for a few more minutes.
Should have put it.
I wouldn't go
on
toward
door
it.
Handle.
Yeah, don't go toward it. That's.
I wouldn't walk toward the person at that particular moment.
Especially
and touch anything in that area.
Especially if they're remembering their spouse.
Get out of the room as quickly as possible and batten down the hatches.
And then
knock next time.
Jim, that's why I'm asking you, just guy things, guy talk. it's a little weird. You need any help with that? I just wouldn't think
no,
it would be a normal.
That's not a normal reaction, no.
Not your first instinct.
Well, he's sort of saying that and the thing at the wedding about saying to the other guy, I should be fracking you. That's like guy talk, but I don't, I'm just saying.
No, that's
not
guy talk. Yeah. It's gay guys who watch Battlestar Galactica talk is what that is.
We're not saying anything about
We don't know, but that's what I mean. I don't. I'm asking because even despite my extensive service in the military. I don't. I don't know if this is how guys talk in the Navy or whatever. But
that's
I
not how guys talk at a wedding. After what, 15 gin and tonics?
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I don't know if there's a. I can't.
He would have been fine at 14, but 15.
I've never walked in on like a college room, like a woman masturbating, but I don't think I'd just be like, no, okay,
wish
sorry.
I had.
Really?
I would have called Jim and invited him over.
Well, yeah.
Jim, you wouldn't believe what my roommates do. Yeah. I just think the normal thing would be to be, oh, sorry, Slam. You know, like you. Okay, I'll let you finish that.
That's the normal thing.
You gonna finish that?
Yeah. It's just, and I'm a helper. It's just not the kind of thing I'd offer to help with. I just, okay. Well, good luck with that. I hope that all comes out well for you. Good. All right. Beth in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beth.
Beth had to go, but we have Mike in Santa Barbara.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, you guys. Getting back to the healthcare public option, or what I call the Medicare buy-in option, because that's the only reasonable public option, which I'm in favor of, but I've called many times on that. But what I don't understand about the current proposal, and I don't think it has the Medicare buy-in option from what I understand, but they keep saying it's going to control costs, and by that I guess I mean control insurance premiums, but nobody says how specifically it's going to do that. Can anybody... You know, shed some light on that.
How? Say it again. How the public options specifically?
No. They say that this current health insurance reform proposal will control costs, and by that I take that to mean health insurance premiums, because that's what most of us care about. But nobody says how it will control costs.
Well, I think it's by increasing the pool so you get healthy and sick people in it. Because what's happening now is that people are only, if they can't afford insurance and they're not sick yet, they're not getting in the pool.
Right, okay.
Which is why Mitt Romney said the mandate was key to his plan in Massachusetts.
Right, and that totally makes sense on a certain level. But I guess the implicit thing then is it's going to lower insurance premiums. But I don't think that's going to happen because we're going to mandate that everybody has to buy into the private health insurance system without any Medicare buy-in option to control health. But, you know,
that's what we're saying is that's why many of us, you know, hope these exchanges work, but are more hopeful that a public option might somehow at some point get into this, because that would be meaningful competition. Because you're right. I think an attorney said this to me once. He said, you know, Stephanie, people don't do things because it's the right thing to do. They do it because they have to. The insurance companies aren't going to just stop, you know, raising premiums because it's the right thing to do. It'll be because they have to,
because they
have competition. Right. Anyway, honey, thanks for calling. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. You'll never guess where Caribou Barbie, oh, you betcha, also, too, went for health care when she was a youth. We'll tell you about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Song is leading to. I won't make it with
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't have bread on my P90X diet.
Oh.
Thank you anyway. Pete in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Pete.
Hi, Steph. Listen, I wanted to also comment on this Goldman Sachs conference call you mentioned earlier in the show insurance companies are not worried about losing customers from raising premiums because they'll make it up with the customers they do retain. And I think the only thing that is going to change that attitude of the insurance companies is to not have an insurance requirement by law, which is going to force people to either stay with the company they have or go into a insurance exchange or cooperative that is also run by for-profit companies. The only way that that will change is if we have a public option where we have, force them to
compete. Is the word you're looking for?
Or to not
gouge is the word you're looking for. All right, Pete. Thank you, honey. All right.
Bless his heart. He was
nervous.
Bless
his heart. I understand. It was like a word game. It was like improv. All right.
Charades.
Can you...
First syllable.
Sounds like.
Can I... Do you have O Canada? I think we should bust that out, don't you? Why, Sarah Paladin is traveling to Canada for health care. What? I thought that was all the socialism, Jim, with the flavor.
Well, actually, that didn't start for the whole country till 1971. Different provinces had different arrangements up till that point. So it wasn't exactly what it is today until 1971.
In November 2009, of course, Sarah Palin, who was always suggesting that health care reform will lead to socialism, insisted Canada needs to reform its health care system to let the private sector take over there.
Get out, hoser. No.
Why
not today in Calgary? That's the she seemed to deviate from her fear of socialized Canadian medicine when she revealed that she and her family may have benefited from the Canadian system. Wah! We used to hustle over the border for health care we received in Canada, and now I think isn't that ironic? Well, ironic and really big, hypocritical and disgusting, considering you were fear-mongering about death panels.
That's a long way from Wasilla to Canada.
Palin's experience also highlights the fact that American medical tourism to Canada is common, despite conservatives' claims that Canada's healthcare system drives Canadians into the States. Every year, thousands of Americans undergo surgery in other countries where they can receive the same care at half the price.
Right.
In 2007, an estimated 750,000 Americans traveled abroad for medical care. This number is anticipated to increase to 6 million by 2010, far outpacing the number of Canadians coming into the United States for medical treatment. But thanks for the fear-mongering in the Canadian system.
Mm-hmm. And,
I mean, how many times, during this whole debate, Jim, in the last year, how many phone calls have we gotten? I got a chart in my eye at 3 a.m. and... France, and the doctor fixed it for a penny.
If it didn't work so well, people would have thrown it out.
Right.
But they haven't. Even in so-called conservative governments, in Canada with the Harper.
They wouldn't dream of throwing it out.
Of course, Harper was like a moderate Democrat.
Yeah.
That's what conservatism was in Canada. And in Germany as well. Merkel wouldn't dream of trying to get rid of their healthcare system. And in Canada and in Germany, you have the option of buying supplemental private insurance.
Sure, Britain too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The president yesterday on insurance companies.
Every year, the problem gets worse. Every year, insurance companies deny more people coverage because they've got pre-existing conditions. Every year, they drop more people's coverage when they get sick, right when they need it most. Every year, they raise premiums higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's what he was saying, is when are we going to act? How much higher do they have to get? Kathleen Sebelius yesterday.
I'm confident that we'll have that up or down vote.
You won't set a deadline, though.
I have not set a deadline. That's really up to the leadership.
Yeah, the whole deadline thing hasn't worked out so much. Senator Mitch McChinless, Republican of Kentucky.
The ending of the play is already written. This is an illusion. House members aren't buying these arguments anymore. In fact, many of them are already walking off the set.
What?
Huh?
The play's been written and the players... What
they're walking
the hell
off
are you
the set. It's all a game. It's all a gum show.
It's an illusion.
It's a show trial.
In a riddle. Wrapped in a...
Yeah.
All right. God. Whatever. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce, Boston Globe writer extraordinaire, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This Pilates instructor was off the charts. Picture
Stephanie Miller,
but younger and bigger boobs.
Get it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's Tuesday. You know what that means. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why,
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Oh, Charlie, if only I could be fracking you instead of on the phone with you.
Sergeant Miller, it's good to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I didn't realize that repeatedly saying the phrase, hello, sailor, qualified as a military experience, but who knows?
Well, it's my military record.
Now,
my military record consists of Fleet Week.
Sestak thinks you were in the military?
Yes. I think he keeps confusing me with Randy Rhodes, and I just haven't had the heart
right.
to correct him.
She's in the Air Force or something, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. But
I think people, everyone, every time you call, you should promote me one rank.
This doesn't say a lot for the Sestak campaign. I mean, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
So what do you, Charlie, what's this Eric Massa story? Just weird, 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 right?
Is it starting to dawn on people that the, like, elite political class in this country's gone a little nuts? What is with this guy?
Yeah.
Now this, I mean, you know, Rahm Emanuel was going to, like, throw him out a window or something. Is it, by the way, the White House is only, like, a couple of floors, so he wouldn't have gotten hurt real bad. You know, you don't want to get, the thing is, you don't want to get thrown out of, like, you know, the Labor Department, because that's got 10 or 11 floors.
Right.
If you're going to injure people, you want to throw them out of the White House because they don't fall very far. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this guy. He appears to have an unseemly ability to say, like, exactly the wrong thing at the wrong time, like when he walked in on the guy at the Navy.
Yes.
And, you know, was kidding around, like, all right, give you a hand. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yes, wrong. That's
exactly.
Not on the list. Yeah, not on the list of things to
drop
say.
Grab your sock. No, wait, I'll help.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Charlie, is you don't know. I mean, look, you're a reporter, and I don't know whether this is fair or not, but obviously, you know, we've all seen these reporters all over television kind of intimating there's a lot more. Eric Massa stories, or this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, he's referring to just this one story at a wedding, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, once again, it's part of what's happened to my business with the rise of the pure opinion industry. You can speculate. I know, you know, speculate on almost anything. As the famous Peggy Noonan quote, it would be irresponsible not to speculate. And I should tell you what I speculate about Peggy Noonan some other time. But good Catholic girls gone bad. But I'm telling you, if I'm Eric Massa and my public persona is sort of imploding this way, my first call is not to Glenn Beck's booker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, now, so, you know, they're going to, obviously, the right wing is already using this. We'll hear that in right wing world that, oh, you know, this is, you know, what Massa claims now in terms of, you know, them wanting to get health care passed. But we were saying it almost doesn't kind of logically make sense, does it? It's like health care doesn't hinge on one vote.
Well,
know?
One hopes not. But who knows, I mean, at this point, you know, this thing is just spiraled to the point where, you know, I've sort of lost track even of whether or not he can still. I mean, is he going to vote on it or not? I don't even know.
No, he resigned, didn't he? Yesterday.
Yeah, he resigned yesterday.
All right.
Yeah,
so
he resigned.
Can't vote.
Right.
No. And that's what he's saying. I mean, I guess the only good news about what he said is he said health care will pass now. He said they got me out because I was a no vote, and now it's going to pass.
Well, not only that, but didn't he at one point argue that the reason he wasn't voting for it was because it wasn't a single payer plan?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So where is he on the, you know, on the spectrum? I don't get it.
I know. No, the whole thing is weird.
Is the right wing media arguing that, you know, that they're arguing, you know, to defend, you know, these embattled single payer advocates from the wrath of the White House? This doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Well, so what do you think of the? Listen, I'm as you know, I'm a hope monger to end all hope mongering. I was actually fired up by the president's speech yesterday on health care. What did you think?
Did you see the picture on the front page of the New York Times today?
No.
He looked extraordinarily fed up. He's pounding the podium, and he looks very grim. I wish he'd done this a year ago? Yeah. I mean, I wish he'd – I mean, he's. I mean, when the history of this is finally written, I think the one thing that people are going to be most consistently critical of him is his unwillingness to engage.
Yeah, he let Frank Luntz define the
– Well, yeah. I mean, at least, you know, this is your signature issue. It's been the signature issue of your party for going on 50 years. You know, it would have been nice to indicate that you were involved in some way.
Yeah.
But now it looks like this thing is going to pass. I keep – you know, it will pass. I will be happy when it passes. I am less sanguine about the whole, well, if we pass this, then we're going to improve it later on. I don't I don't see the political will to go through all of this again to refine a plan that will.
Well, but then it's not going to be as big a deal, right, Charlie?
Well,
I mean, that's the thing. It's like once this is done, don't you feel like, you know, you can actually more quietly go back and make fixes?
Well,
it's already passed.
What fixes are you going to make? Are you going to bring the public option back? That's not, I mean, it's going to be the same fight you just had. Plus, you're going to be dealing with a Congress that, at the very least, will be made up of a slim, slim Democratic majority, all of whom will be frightened and take and take exactly the wrong lessons away from what happens in the midterms. That's what.
Yes, never underestimate the Democratic puss factor. I agree with you.
No, no. If their majority takes a whack, even if they don't lose it, if it takes a substantial whack in the midterms, and history says it will, then they're all going to decide that the problem was that they listened to dirty friggin' hippies too much, basically. And they'll run to the center again. And I don't know, in that political dynamic, I don't know how you refine the plan beyond what we have now. I mean, there certainly won't be this great groundswell for a public option. I'm perfectly willing to be proven wrong on this, but right now that's my view of the lay of the land, so to speak. And speaking of the lay of the land, Eric Masser was
come on now. You did a U-turn and then you spun around, and you came back and you picked
did donuts in the parking lot.
All right.
Making donuts in the parking lot, exactly.
So, speaking of Democratic puss factor, what do you make of this whole Khalid Sheikh Mohammed if the White House backs down and tries him in civil or criminal or what do you call it, military tribunal?
I think it's disgraceful. I think the one place where I'll make complete common cause with the critics of the president from the left is on civil liberties. He's really taken a dive on this one. We can try this guy in New York.
This is more deal making, though, right? Like we're seeing on health care and whatever. It's to get Gitmo closed.
Yeah, you're making. Is that going to happen, or are the Republicans just going to say no? We can't do that. You know, once you've made the deal, put the guy on trial. Ignore these. Ken Starr is running around saying that the criticism of the lawyers in the Justice Department is out of bounds.
I know.
I mean, put the guy on trial. You know, you'll probably, God knows, you'll get a conviction, and he'll go to Supermax for 10,000 years. Be like Ben Hur's mother, who's in the lower end of the dungeon. They don't even know she's there after a while. But
that was like one of these things is not like the other. Do you ever think you'd see Ken Starr on Keith Olbermann's program?
I know.
Granted,
Keith wasn't there last night.
Keith
took the night off.
Yeah, he's a group that includes leading conservative lawyers and policy experts, several from the Bush administration, that denouncing a shameful Republican attacks on lawyers who came to the Obama Justice Department after representing suspected terrorists. What do they call them? The Al Qaeda 7 in this Liz
7.
Cheney ad?
And they're also referred to as quote unquote Al Qaeda lawyers, like there's a legal division on the fourth floor of the cave.
Sorry,
you'll have to run this up to legal. We have to run this plan past legal up on five.
Yeah, exactly.
The Al Qaeda office building in Tora Bora. Yeah, it's the third rock from the top there. You see, that's legal. You see, sign of the rock is legal.
But, as usual, I'm reading in the story, a senior Republican aide said that line of attack likely to broaden as the midterms approach. Senator Grassley has already taken the lead in pressing the Justice Department to reveal the number of its appointees who represented or advocated their detainees and then confirm their names to Fox News.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because that's where we vet our people.
Yeah, exactly.
The interesting thing to remember here, and I think the administration is losing track of this, Eric Holder is not the president's lawyer. If Eric Holder wants to try this guy in people in criminal courts, he can do that. And the White House can't mess with him. That's what got Nixon in trouble.
Right. America's Justice Department.
If he wants to
Department,
be ferociously independent, he's one of the few cabinet officials who actually can be.
But what do you think? How would that play out? I made this decision and this is what we're doing? Or, so you're saying legally the White House can't overrule him on it?
I think legally, as far as I know, they can't overrule him. But I don't think politically what are they going to do? Fire him?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fire this guy because he wants to bring somebody to trial? That's a tough case to make.
Well, and you're right. It's like this deal making. This isn't health care. Like you say, this is the Justice Department of the United States of America. If we need to get Gitmo closed, then let's, trade away all our values,
You're trading away almost nothing. You've got a guaranteed conviction in federal court. I mean, I hate to prejudge it, but if there was ever a slam dunk case, it was this guy.
Right.
And do you not want the fact that we tortured him to within the limits of his sanity to come out? Well, guess what? It's already out.
Right.
Can't be that much more that's going to come out in trial. And the argument that this will give him a platform to who's going to listen?
Right. Yeah, you that's know, what I mean. Who cares? Like, you know, criminals say all kinds of crazy crap when they're getting tried. Who cares? I mean, since when do we care?
Is this guy any nuttier than the blind sheik was?
Yeah. I mean, every time Charlie Manson's up for parole, he comes and gives some nutty interview on TV, and we go, oh, look, we gave him a platform. It's like, who cares?
That's got to be, by the way, the all-time triumph of hope over experience, is Charlie going to the parole hearings, you know?
Right.
Maybe they won't notice the swastika on my forehead this year.
Really? I shaved my head this time, and I'm talking about voices again, but they won't notice that, and they'll let me out.
All right, Charlie
Pierce. I have a nice ranch house in, you know, Playa del Rey that I can move into, and no one will bother me. Don't
Charlie
play
Pierce
with the Manson fellow across the street.
From the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America. I've been advised not to say see you next Tuesday because it makes people giggle uncontrollably.
Why?
See, he doesn't get it either. Yeah, because it's a euphemism for a bad word that you call the lady sometimes.
Or guys in England.
Or lady.
I'll let you think about it.
Is embarrassing for Tuesday Weld.
Yes, it is.
All right. Bye, Charlie. Bye. Thanks. All right. See you next Tuesday. Oh, shut up. 45 minutes after the hour.
She said a bad word. Talk to you next Wednesday. Oh, wait, that's wrong.
That's wrong. Mike who is on the phone for me?
His last name is Hunt.
6 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour off. Just one more reason to pass health care. Limbaugh vows to flee the country if health care passes.
Good!
Oh!
Ooh, don't crush anyone on your way out.
Where's he gonna go? Canada?
Dominican Republic.
Yeah. He said to a caller, I'll tell you this, if this passes in 5 years from now and all that stuff gets implemented, I'm leaving the country, I'll go to Costa Rica. What?
It's
you
nice
would think
there.
The Dominican Republic, wouldn't you? But no, I don't.
It's nice in Costa Rica.
There's child sex trade in Costa Rica as well.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Well, there is here in the United States, too. Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, look, it's our prostitute toe-sucker friend, Dick Morris. Oh, no.
Yeah, talk about.
This is, exactly. This is even more screechy than his usual dick-gram. It seems to me they're starting to have a major panic about health care passing.
In the end, this is going to destroy Obama. In the end, this is Pickett's charge. This is will wipe out the Democratic Party in Congress. They're going to lose 60 or 70 seats as a result of this. But in the meantime, they could destroy the health care system of our country for a generation.
Yes, everyone's going to die if he passes. It's just going to be horrific. It's going to be Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Vesuvius all together. He destroyed the healthcare system, which has served me so well. So healthy.
He really does sound like he's running on fumes.
Yeah.
No one is listening to me. It's going to destroy the entire Democratic Party and all the healthcare system in the United States. Exactly. He just, apparently it's the end of everything. Once again, it's just so touching, isn't it, Jim? His concern for the Democratic Party.
Yes. He sounds panicked about it.
Yeah.
He really wants to save us from ourselves.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay, Hannity on the health care.
We have followed this bill for over a year now. We've watched the Senate version, we've watched the House version, okay? Now we're at the point, you're right, there's 20 people that are on the fence. Bart Stupak says he might bolt, I don't believe it. I think this bill could squeak by, even though it's going to be difficult, because they're twisting arms, probably bribery is taking place, as Massa suggests.
Bribery.
Oh, I don't believe even Eric Massa suggested bribery.
No.
But Sean Hannity just suggested that, because some say there's bribery going on.
Well, he didn't mean literal bribery. He meant just everyday backroom senatorial and congressional.
Yeah, he means politics.
Yeah.
Oh. It's bribery. Backroom deals, the arm twisting. It's the end of the country as we know it.
That's what passes for journalism on Fox. Yeah. There's bribery, probably.
Maybe. We think.
Behind.
We assume.
Probably going on. Yeah. Ed Rollins on the Situation Room.
I think this president comes off very whiny, and I think it's beneath him. And I think at the end of the day, he needs to toughen up. He picked the agenda. He ran with the agenda. He's had a year to try and sell his health care. He's not made the case to the American public. And at the end of the day, he can't whine about it.
Well, it's true. He didn't. He failed to make his case early on. I mean, he shouldn't have let Frank Luntz tell everyone what this thing was about. And
yeah,
that's
well,
why... You know,
you can say a lot of things about this president. Whiny, I wouldn't say, is one of them. If you watched him yesterday, that was not whining.
But
that was...
he does have a point that he should have laid out exactly, you know, what we were going to do from the beginning and not let the Republicans...
Jim, let's get fired up and ready to go here, like the president said, and we'll push this thing across the goal line or over the fence or wherever, whatever he said yesterday. What did he say, Chris? Over the fence.
Can I
help him get it over the...
He used the baseball metaphor yesterday.
We can't. Seriously. We formed the circular firing squad already about what went wrong or what we did. We're not even, you know, Jim, we have a realistic chance of passing this, you know, in terms of, I mean, whatever. Yeah, you could always say, oh, we could have done it this way or that way. If it passes in the end, who cares? Charles Krauthammer... on the prepare.
I think the Democrats really have a problem. We've seen the waivers, the ones who said yes and are wavering no. They have not produced a single no in the first round who will now go to yes. If you do the math, you start with Pelosi's 220, one death, two retirements, a switch. The Republican who went for yes is now a no. You've got Stupak on abortion, two others on abortion, and perhaps eight or nine others. So Pelosi, and you need 216, so she's got to make up at least eight or ten. And for every yes that you lose, you're going to have to switch a no. In the climate today, it looks really difficult, and I don't think that the president stumping is going to help any.
Wow, Rain Man. Okay, thanks for that whole... Yeah. He seems to have a better head count than Nancy Pelosi does.
Yeah, because he's
in there. I don't think
he
knows what's going on behind closed doors right now, does he?
He doesn't. Nobody
There's
does.
Bribery. Sean Hannity.
Well, except we all know bribery is because Sean Hannity says so.
Oh.
So that's kind of a given. Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
I mean, I just cannot believe what this country is putting up with, what we're sitting around for. We are sitting around and we are watching the systematic destruction of everything we hold dear by thugs.
You're talking about the Republican Party?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's he talking about? Can you see why people listen to Glenn Beck? It's just mindless rage. I don't even think half of them know what they're mad about.
No.
It's just they listen and they're like, yeah.
That's what Goering said. Get people afraid enough and they'll do whatever you want. And they sure did it.
Yeah,
and
Democrats
fall for it all the time, though.
Seems to be short on specifics, Jim.
A bit, yeah.
Yes, we're... What
be angry about something and do violent stuff, because we're about to lose everything that I imagined we once had.
The sad thing is, his viewers don't know that they're being played as fools.
They're like, he's got a chalkboard, so it must be true.
It's true.
Okay. Oh, Riley.
If you're a far-left kook, you can say just about anything, and the left-wing media will ignore it, especially if you attack Governor Palin. By the way, the women's groups, where are those women's groups? Why do they remain silent as Mrs. Palin continues to absorb unfair cheap shots?
Because they're embarrassed by her?
Oh, yes. Yeah. As a woman, let me step forward here, because she's a big dope that... most women are embarrassed of and would not want to be represented by as the best we would have to offer.
Yeah,
for president,
but she's hot.
States.
Look at her. Who wouldn't want to rub a falafel against her? Come on. What's wrong with America?
All right. Time for O'Reilly's Fashion Report.
On the pinhead front, the award for strangest outfit of the evening. Here it is. Woody Harrelson. Nice suit, Woody. It's made out of hemp. Woody could smoke the suit and probably did after the program. As you may know, the Woodman is a big pot advocate, and he made another statement last night. Hemp suit. Pinhead, you make the call.
Okay. Well, at least his suit isn't made of falafel.
Yeah. That would be embarrassing.
All right, Mr. Blackwell. Thank you. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 11 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Can I have my cat fight, please? Look out! There's a teabagger cat fight, man fight going on in Florida.
What?
Florida Governor Charlie Crist called Marco Rubio. A fraud for portraying himself as a fiscal conservative while paying, quote, $130 for a haircut, or maybe it was a back wax.
Oh.
Meow.
Charlie Crist said that about Rubio?
Yes. He's not as hairless as Charlie likes.
Apparently. Yeah, well, that, you know, that's not surprising coming from the exceedingly neat and well-groomed former bachelor governor of Florida.
He doesn't look like he has a hair on him, does he?
No.
He gets the full-body bikini wax, I think.
He waxes the hell out of himself.
Okay.
You snorted. Oh,
pardon me. I snorted. I apologize. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Thanks to all the people that have written to say how cute my doggies are. Max and Fred in Central Park.
Max.
Yes, in the gallery section under Steph's dogs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's pictures in the when Central Park was all snowy. Oh, it is.
And now how is it?
It's actually beautiful in New York. It's almost 60 degrees here and sunshiny.
Really?
Yes. And then it's all going to turn to, like everything does in my life. Yeah. By the weekend, it's going to be all rainy East Coast, I understand. All right. So, by the way, we mentioned the president yesterday talking about health care and the deficit.
Brings down our deficit by up to $1 trillion over the next decade because we're spending our health care dollars more wisely. Those aren't my numbers. They are the savings determined by the Congressional Budget Office.
There you go. There's some actual numbers. Unlike the fuzzy numbers we sometimes get from Republicans. I don't know if this guy's a Republican. I'm just going to guess so, though.
Uh-oh.
Man arrested for stealing scratch-off tickets tried to redeem winners at the same store where the crime occurred. A Florida man was arrested after authorities say he took a winning scratch-off ticket back to the store he'd stolen it from a day earlier. He stole $70 worth of the scratch-off lottery tickets. One of the tickets revealed a $50 prize. He was charged with retail theft and later released on $250 bail. So he didn't really do the math on that.
Apparently.
Correctly. No. That didn't work out so well. All right. Celebrity. I snorted again.
You did.
Two times in one segment. I apologize. All right. Celebrity Stack. Still lots of Oscar stories about the post-Oscar parties and such. Guess who was the biggest star there?
Who?
Shaun White. Oh, the snowboarder.
Oh, the flying tomato.
Yes.
Yes. Tomate volante.
Yeah, he was. There was a lot of Olympians mingling with the Oscar stars, and he was, I guess, the hot ticket. Shaun White, the flying tomato.
Easily recognizable with all that hair.
He could have Carrot Top sit in for him.
I wonder how many people went, Kathy Griffin. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Shaun White's a little less freaky than Carrot Top.
You know the
looking.
Only reason I would want it to have been in one of these parties? This line right here. Hillary Swank and Tim Robbins ate burgers from In-N-Out that were served by waiters from the In-N-Out.
Okay, that's awesome.
Oh, my God.
One thing I miss about California, the In-N-Out burgers, because that's what a hamburger is all about.
Apparently.
Are they a sponsor?
In-N-Out.
Maybe they will be now.
In-N-Out. No, but they should be.
Yes, they should. Yeah.
It's like crack.
Well, you have a new addiction you revealed to me yesterday.
What's that?
Crackberry?
What? Oh, yes. What is it called?
Pinkberry.
Oh. There is. There's a little crack in there or something. I don't know what the deal is.
It's frozen yogurt, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in there. Okay.
And what did you get on top? You were ordering. And did you get Skittles on top?
Yeah, while I was talking to you, I did not get Skittles. That is not P90X approved.
What did you get on top? I thought I heard Skittles.
Yeah, fruit mostly.
Okay.
Mostly?
Mostly.
And mochi was the other thing.
Like mochi balls?
Little mochi balls, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What are mochi balls?
It's rice, ice
well,
cream.
It's something cream that Charlie Crist accused Marco Rubio of having. All right.
But at least they were waxed.
Oh, God.
I did a U-turn and then did a donut in the parking lot getting back to that joke.
You really did.
I don't know where I was. All right. D-listed writing, things that should be illegal, leaving Farrah Fawcett and Bea Arthur out of the Oscar montage.
Yes, a lot of people were upset about Farrah Fawcett
and
being
Henry Gibson.
Out.
What's that? Oh, and Henry Gibson, too. Yeah. I know. They were both left out of the In Memoriam Oscar montage. Should I call the police about this illegal activity, or do you want to handle this, according to D-listed? They were saying they're both known primarily as being TV goddesses, but they both have several film credits.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah, that was those people need to.
Bea Arthur was in MAME with Lucille
Ball.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Why do I know this?
I don't know.
Good God.
And who you have to watch? What's the Farrah movie? The Extremities or something?
Whatever.
I think wasn't
the Burning Bed.
No, the Burning Bed was a TV movie, but Extremities was a feature film.
That's right.
Hang on, I'll go back and get it.
What?
She was in Myra Breckinridge, Logan's Run, Dr. T, and Women, and The Women and Extremities.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's
and she got good reviews for Extremities. The others.
Yes. All right, Celebitchy, that's one of our other, Celebitchy.com, which is a bitchy celebrity site.
Yes,
exactly. Did Mariah Carey say she was pregnant? Apparently, apparently when I thought Mariah Carey looked like she was 3 feet to the wind at the Independent Spirit Awards, she was really just pregnant, allegedly.
Oh.
Mariah didn't really announce that she's pregnant, she just told journalists that she has something special on the way. Geez, can you just imagine the butterfly-clad, bedazzled, tutu-wearing stork that Mariah will demand? But I digress. Mariah could be pregnant, but it's not definite. The something special could be a new Barbie dress, or a dog, or a butterfly, or a piece of jewelry, or a fart. God knows Mariah probably announced her farts that way. I have something special coming. Wait, pull my finger. All right.
That's
a little bitchy.
Oh, by the way.
Speculating on the...
My friend Travis says that you forgot Farrah Fawcett's most important screen credit.
What's that?
Cannonball Run.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Okay. So speaking of the film business, how about this one? Lawmakers in Florida are hoping to pass a $75 million incentive package to attract movie studios to film in Florida, but a little notice provision could deny tax credits to movies that feature gay or other non-traditional family values.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
They don't want them none of that. State Representative Stephen Precourt. No word on whether he's been to any of the premier gay clubs or not anywhere.
The premier gay clubs in Orlando, in Tallahassee.
He says the purpose of the credit is to encourage movies to depict cinematic life from the 1960s.
What?
He said, I want Florida to be known for making those kinds of movies, Disney movies for kids and all that stuff, like it used to be, you know.
Oh, wow.
Does he want only
living in his own private
Idaho. Maybe just Gone with the Wind, where blacks are only depicted as slaves, because that's, you know, the way it used to be.
Sure.
You know, back before we had the gay. Precourt claims that his provision does not specifically target movies with gay characters, but asked if shows with gay characters could get the tax credit, he said, that would not be the kind of thing I'd say we want to invest our public dollars in. That kind of thing. You know, the gay kind of thing. He doesn't.
He says no.
They don't want that in Florida. All right. That concludes the kind of a. It's an odd little celebrity stack today.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
It was just a little, you know, post-Oscar little seeds and stems and little droppings. anti-gay hypocritical droppings.
Yeah, the seeds and stems that fell out of Woody Harrelson's suit made of hemp.
Exactly. All right. We've been talking about, first of all, when the Homeland Security Department came out with a report, you know, talking about warning of right-wing violence tied to right-wing extremism and the right-wing's head exploded.
Right.
Like, oh, that's it. And then, of course, we have a body count since then.
Uh-huh.
So now the right is resisting ties to this Pentagon gunman who apparently also was espousing a lot of extremist right-wing. What was the Southern Poverty Law Center just did
right.
a study showing these acts of violence are up to, what is it, 244%?
It's some astronomical number. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's anyway. So I think the right is starting to get nervous is what the story is about. They're starting to really try to distance themselves from this.
Right.
When what was his name? John Patrick Bedell? yes, killed this week in a shootout with police at the Pentagon, was revealed to have left behind a rambling trail of anti-government screeds. And again, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, the guy that flew into the IRS, I mean, a lot of this is rhetoric you hear at the Tea Parties. We're not making this up. It's rhetoric that you hear on Glenn Beck, that you hear at Tea Parties. Anyway, conservative commenters reacted with another collective cringe, just as they did after the discovery of the writings of the IRS suicide pilot Joe Stack. The headline at Big, that's a conservative website, Big Journalism, don't know that one.
Andrew Breitbart outfit.
Oh, yes. Of the Sterling Journalistic Standard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the headline screamed, "Don't believe the mainstream media. John Patrick Bedell, the Pentagon shooter, was no right winger." Townhall.com, right? "Tragedy occurs. Media rush to blame right wing." Bedell's riffs against the American monetary system and far-reaching violation of property rights would fit in well at a rally of libertarian hero Ron Paul, or even at the Conservative Action Conference, for that matter. Conservatives, though, were quick to point out that Bedell had registered to vote as a Democrat, seemed more hostile to the Republican administration of George Bush than the Democratic administration of President Obama, and seemed to believe the Bush administration played a role in the September 11th attacks, a conspiracy theory that has its roots in extreme anti-Bush circles but has metastasized in the right-wing fringe. Jim, I've got to, as the, you know, as the 9/11 guy on the show, I have to get your take on this whole story, because they're talking about how there's a guy that has a book out that says the fringe on both sides, they call it.
That's nonsense. I mean,
coming together in one. You know.
Well, no, that is happening in the. Alex Jones talks about that too. How the teabaggers and the 9/11 truth movement, there's some overlap there. But to equate these right wing whack jobs with people who are legitimately concerned about what really happened, including a lot of pilots who say that what happened to the Pentagon was impossible.
Okay,
you cannot fly a 757 at that altitude, at that speed, without it experiencing a high-speed stall.
Yeah, well, this is why I want to get your take on this. So let's, when we come back after the break, there's a lot of interesting, there's a lot of argument. I get a lot of these emails, a lot of stuff on the internet about whether these guys are left-wing or right-wing or where this all, So we're going to get Jim Ward's take and yours as we continue. A lot of talk about that in the blogosphere. In the meantime, you know, Mama talks about nothing but P90X.
That's right.
I can't help it. It's my new religion. I've always worked out. You know that, Chris. But I have to say, I'm somebody that would do the same thing, and then I you just plateau. Mm-hmm. So, well, since I went to New York, I've gained weight. I just got out of my schedule, and you know,
became a tub of goo.
Yes, I became a fat tub of goo. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Skype adds like 40 to 50 pounds.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, P90X, it's a home workout. I can do it with my doggies. I've learned how to fend Fred off, because there are certain exercises that make him very excited. However, I get some extra exercise doing that. But every day you get something different. There's weight training, there's cardio, there's yoga. It keeps – you know what I have, Chris?
What?
I have muscle confusion.
What?
Well, exactly. My muscles don't know if they're coming or going. And all I can tell you is it works, it works, it works. My pants are already feeling much better. You can take the challenge with
your
me.
Your pants
check
are on
out.
P90X, too. Wow, amazing.
Yes. If you'd like to get in my pants, call now.
We're not sending this one.
800-509-9438, excuse me, or 800-509-9FIT. That's how you can remember it. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on the banner ad, check this out. You get a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Go to stephaniemiller.com right now. Click on the P90X banner ad.
Live.
All right. Left fringe versus right fringe, moderated by, it's like the marriage ref. It's conspiracy theory corner with referee Jim Ward. As we continue, 19 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Richard in Oakland on healthcare. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Stephanie. Great Hello. Program. I love listening to you guys. You always make me laugh in the morning. But the health care bill is not too laughable because I think people are not looking at what the mandate's going to do to us. It's going to generate around $500 billion in new profits for these health insurance companies in the next 10 years, according to certain estimates. And what's that going to mean? That's going to mean no changes, no nothing's going to happen, because they'll have so many more lobbyists than they have now, you won't even be able to get into Congress and watch. So this is what I'm concerned about. You don't mandate people to buy a defective product. That'd be like asking everybody 30 years ago to buy a rear-end flaming Pinto, you know? But here we're being ordered to do this, and that's
or the more current reference, a Toyota. But, yes. you know, look, I understand. I you know, hear this argument again and again, and I understand. But I do think this is a start, and I think that it can be fixed over time, like Medicare, like Social Security. I get what you're saying, but I think we cannot just do nothing at this point. I don't know to what degree the exchanges are going to help or not help. And I still believe there's a chance to get a public option at some point.
Well, I just think that what we're doing, this whole bill, is a Trojan horse for the insurance industry to make all that more money. And you don't win a battle by giving your opponent extra ammunition.
Yep.
That's
all
what
right,
we're
honey.
Doing.
I hear you. I hear you. Look, I thought the president took it to the insurance companies yesterday about as clearly as he could. And, you know, that's the thing, Jim. Maybe he did need to do that earlier. But, you know, you kind of think... whatever. I would have thought that went without saying. We all get our insurance bills every month. Like,
that's
you know,
the problem. Democrats always assume that it goes without saying. That's the mistake Michael Dukakis made. Mm-hmm. Oh, the American people are smarter. They won't fall for this propaganda. No, they fall for it every single damn time. Goering understood this, as I was saying before. He make people afraid, and they lose their minds. They can't think straight.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever you want. They whatever you want them to.
And I spent a lot of my childhood in the back of a Pinto, and I'm still here.
Barely. All right. Well, and I spent a lot of time. You know, well, most of us did in the 70s. They, you know, your mom, first of all, had like, I don't know how much, like Aquanet, like maybe a can a day.
Yes, a can a day.
Oof. On the Beehive, which she would frequently do in the car with the windows closed while smoking.
Smoking a cigarette.
Jeez.
Yes. And then we didn't have seatbelts. Remember, you would turn in your car and they'd be all new. They'd still be in the...
Yeah, they'd be shoved down in between the seat cushions.
Yeah, you just got the mom arm, which had the cigarette in it when you came to a stop. So you'd get burned by a cigarette.
Before you smashed your head against the concrete dashboard.
Yes.
How did we survive our childhoods? Good God.
Oh, no, we've stumbled into this topic again.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so we were talking before the break about... you know, I was saying, Jim, the right wing, the blogosphere in particular, now they're really starting to push back about, oh, these, you know, violent nutcases. And first of all, there's been a bunch of them, right? I mean, you know, we got to go back to the Pittsburgh shooter. There are very well-documented cases of, you know, people that obviously were fans of a lot of these right-wing people. They had their books, whatever it was, their writings on the Internet were clearly
right-wing. Now they're trying to equate the 9/11 truth movement with the people showing up with guns at these rallies with pictures of Obama depicted as a Nazi or with a bone through his nose. It was a certain pretty thinly veiled threat of violence against the president. Now,
right. Well, so one conservative blogger wrote, yes, the Pentagon shooter was a far-left nutcase, a 9/11 truther, and an anti-Bush nutcase.
That's not strictly true, I don't think.
No, I mean, most of his rhetoric is right out of the teabag rally.
Right.
You know, so the reflexive pushback by conservative highlights a growing anxiety about being linked to the uptick of extremism targeting boogeymen of the far-right fringe during the Obama administration. John Avlon just wrote a book called Wingnuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. He says in the extreme edge of conspiracy theory politics, it's way beyond the simple left versus right. The two overlap. He said, but we already have a body count in the Obama era from incidents that have come from folks who are associated more with the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. But, you know, Jim, I thought you could speak to that people do, you know, tend to kind of go, look, there are conspiracy theorists nuts on the left and the right.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing at all. Charlie Pierce talks about that in his book. It's a big flaw in it that there's no expertise on either side. The teabaggers are 9/11 truth. He's wrong there. There is expertise. Pilots who know what... The official story is wrong. Architects and engineers from around the world who know that steel frame buildings do not collapse like that unless it is via controlled demolition.
All right.
Half of the members of the commission.
I promise I'll let you finish when you come back. Sorry for the hard break. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
my share of psycho girlfriends. Well, I mean, I really wouldn't call her.
Stephanie Miller.
Psycho. At least not to her face.
It is the, oh, like Jim says, crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. 34 minutes after the hour. And by for me, that means I French kiss my dogs. But they want it.
They were asking for it.
Can you get?
They were bent over the pinball machine.
Can you get one of those horrible diseases by French kissing your dogs?
I don't do it on purpose. It's just by accident sometimes. Sometimes
you fun. Know your what dogs fun. Eat their poop. Yet
no,
you
they do not.
Yet you French kiss
you,
them.
My dogs don't call
they
them.
They eat other dogs poop.
They eat other dogs poop.
No, they. Do.
Well, then how do they get Giardia?
That's not from eating poop. It's from sniffing it or something. I don't know.
I don't get Giardia either. I think Paula was much more interesting on. Oh, that's not. Thanks. Oh, that's a whole different thing.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. All right, Jim Ward. Sorry. I see that will be conspiracy theorists will say that I cut you off on purpose when you were talking about 9/11, and we hit a hard break, as it's known in the broadcasting business. But anyway, we were saying the right wing. You know, they're really pushing back on. Oh, this Pentagon shooter was a far left nutcase. Even though most of everything he said, could have come straight out of somebody said CPAC or whatever. But he apparently did talk about 9/11.
He was also a manic depressive and high on the giggle weed most of the time. But yeah, and even a stop clock is right twice a day, or once a day, according to Stephanie. He must have one of those 24-hour clocks. But,
on this show, I respect your right to believe what you believe. I don't believe the Bush administration was behind 9/11. I think it was incompetence. I respect
no,
you.
There
don't,
wasn't.
You don't think that, but anyway, but my point is,
Bush wasn't
like
really
Van
in charge.
Jones, I was saying that wasn't fair. They made him seem like some crazy extremist when a lot of people have questions about
9/11. Including half of the commissioners.
Well, right. A lot of people think the 9/11 commission was a whitewash.
Well,
so,
it was hamstrung. There were certain things they couldn't look at. They weren't allowed to.
Right. Right.
You know, as I was saying, the FBI confiscated all the footage except for that one little security camera thing of what happened at the Pentagon. There was something like 85 different cameras pointed at the Pentagon. What was so terrifying and dangerous that we were not allowed to see that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, like you say, too, people make things worse even if there isn't something there by making it seem like they're hiding something. Then you're like, well, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one question I've always had is why was the Air Force told
exactly.
to stand down?
Right.
Why? I mean, there just are a lot of questions.
And that was one thing that the commissioners were very frustrated about. They couldn't get a straight answer out of NORAD or the FAA. It was just... That was only one part of it, though. But the idea that 9/11 truthers are violent, that's the sort of thing that Glenn Beck is ginning up, that the 9/11 truthers are going to try to assassinate Obama because they're left-wing violent nut jobs. There's never been a 9/11 truther that's been committed an act of violence,
No,
Alex Jones
saying.
Here. There's a guy named Gary Tallis who was falsely accused of attacking a girl in a wheelchair. He was acquitted by a New York jury despite New York police officers and one Secret Service agent lying and claiming Tallis had assaulted the girl when, in fact, he was the one being assaulted by the girl's father. So there's this movement now to try to conflate the right-wing, heavily armed, racist whack jobs with people who want to know what actually happened on 9/11.
Right. And I agree with you, and that's what I'm saying, is I think that, you know, whether it's the Homeland Security Department report, the Southern Poverty Law Center, it is saying the same thing that we all know. There is literally, as this one author said, a body count associated with a lot of these far-right, Obama-hating, government-hating right-wingers. I mean, a lot of it goes back to Tim McVeigh, the anti-government stuff. So I think you're right. It's like they take that one thing that they mentioned 9/11 and go, oh, see, far-left nutcase. And, anyway. All right. Jeff in Augusta, Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hi, long-time listener. I was kind of intrigued by this whole line of conversation, and brings to mind a line from an older movie delivered wonderfully by Tommy Lee Jones when he stated that a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals, and you know it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yep. I hear you. Thank you, Jeff. Well, that's why Republicans use the same play, Jim, because like you say, it does work. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at on health care. It has absolutely affected the numbers, the fear-mongering and the untruths over
Frank
time.
Frank Luntz is an expert at that, at psyops, giving, crafting words that set off alarms in people's heads so they can't think clearly anymore. And that's the stuff that sticks.
Yes, and those of us on the left are like, oh, yes, well, that is scary. However, you're aware it's a lie, right? Should we? Might we point something out? Linda in Asheville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Linda.
You made my day today. I've after that remark about why the best reason we need to pass health care is because Rush Limbaugh said he was leaving.
Yes.
I've been having so much fun. I've been calling Mitch McConnell's office and Saxby Chambliss and John Boehner's and, you know, saying that's the best reason to pass health care is to get Rush Limbaugh out of the country. And, I mean, it's so fifth grade, but all this talk about health care is making me sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and when I hear about all these crazy people who are actually supposed to be in control, I mean, it just makes me want to go to Shutter Island. I mean, right? I mean, it's like the lunatics are out running the country.
Exactly. And that's not even the romantic Leonardo DiCaprio movie, but whatever, just anything to get out.
So anyway, I, you know, in the midst of all, you know, the despair that I feel about what is going on in this country, I'm going to call a few more people and, you know, on the right wing side and say why we should pass health care.
There you go. And all right. So, Ben in San Rafael, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Steph, I just want to begin with that you are hot and you just need to keep up the good work.
Thank you. Now,
one thing I want to talk about is I'm really tired of hearing the Democrats whine, oh, my God, if we give the insurance companies all this money, we mandate it, they're going to get rich. Guess what? They're going to get their money one way or another. We might as well mandate it, get everybody insurance, everybody's got car insurance, and move on and be done. And let the process take its course and quit whining. You know, like everyone said, if we don't get the public option, throw it away. Well, what are you, stupid? I mean, come on. You're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Get it done and move on, and we can change it as we go. I mean, it kills me about Democrats. Just too much whining. And this whole thing about the
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Come
on, Steph.
Okay.
No, we do. So this whole thing about the conspiracy theorist thing, too, I mean, come on. I don't give them that much credit to be that crafty. I would first believe that they're that incompetent to let something like that happen, that everybody's not talking to each other. So I don't give Bush, I don't give those guys that much credit.
I never underestimated never the incompetence Bush. Of the Bush administration, but yeah.
But Cheney was really in charge.
Yeah, he's pretty on the ball, too.
Well, George Bush was, you know, dropping a load in his pants down in Florida.
Right.
Dick Cheney was down to the bunker directing traffic, you know.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Well, I mean, and that was always the question. And was it George Bush's incompetence or Dick Cheney's evil? Which was it?
Probably
Which
both.
Was it in this case? It could have been.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
Hey, Dick Cheney got his evil in my incompetence. Hey.
Mr. President, the country's under attack.
Okay, great. All right. I'll sit here. Oh, boy, it's going to be bad. Good thing I wore my brown pants.
Okay. I have more on man fight, the cat fight in Florida.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Charlie Crist, as you know, said Marco Rubio is a fraud for portraying himself as a fiscal conservative while paying $130 for a haircut, or maybe it was a back wax.
Love those fish tacos, though. I'm not sure he does.
What?
Oh, dear.
Asked where he came up with the suggestion that Rubio got his back waxed on the state party's dime, Chris said, well, I don't know what it was. But initially, we were told it was a haircut, and then he said it wasn't a haircut.
Try to say
you're a fiscal conservative, yet you spend $130 for maybe a haircut or maybe other things. I don't know what you do at a salon when you're a guy.
Oh.
He doesn't know about things like that, but he's a lumberjack.
And I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. He's a lumberjack.
Went on to say, I get my haircut for $11 from a guy named Carl. The barber.
I use my sling blade. Some people call it a Kaiser blade.
He pays in potted meat. Carl cuts it with his sling blade. That's what men do.
I don't have no hair gel, but I got some mustard. Oops.
That's what you do when you're a man, when you're a lumberjack. That's what you do.
I'm a lumberjack.
Apparently, Chris doesn't know about what men do in salons. Men don't go to salons. Spend $130.
Besides, Charlie Crist is
married.
He said,
I don't know what you do in a salon when you're a guy. You go to a guy named Carl.
A married guy.
Carl the barber in St. Petersburg for $11.
All right, Dan.
If you spend more than $11 for a haircut, you're not a man. You're not a guy. You're a salon guy. You're not a lumberjack like
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
How much did Charlie Crist pay for it?
He looks like he's seen the inside of a salon is all I want to say.
Especially a tanning salon.
I wonder if Carl wears black tights and wants to attach his monkey.
Charlie.
Is it Carl with a K?
Charlie. Oh.
Becky and Eureka, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Becky.
Hi. About the guy who was talking about the mandates, I think they're a bad idea, but the only way to make individual mandates work is to make insurance companies non-profit.
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be an idea? I'm sure they'll be down with that.
One right, can Becky. Only hope.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that would be Medicare for all.
Well, basically.
All right, speaking of other people getting teabagged besides Charlie Crist, we will talk about the Tea Party movement as we continue 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stand love yodeling and pop music.
No, there really isn't. Or talk radio. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The Dow is up 21 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So we talked to Charlie Pierce about this earlier. Jim, what's your take on this? You know, I understand, they always make deals to get stuff done politically. But so it sounds like the deal they're trying to make is they will try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a military tribunal in exchange for trying to get Gitmo closed. A senior aide said the most important goals are closing Guantanamo Bay and ensuring the government prosecutes some detainees in U.S. courts. To do so, the only option may be abandoning the administration's original plan to prosecute 9/11 conspirators in civilian courts. And allow them to go before military tribunals. Once again, noted panty waist Lindsey Graham apparently is who we had to suck up to for this.
I don't know. First of all, isn't that Eric Holder's decision to make what happens?
Well, that's what Charlie Pierce was saying. I mean,
I don't know. I just is the deal worth it? Is it more important to close Gitmo or to trial these people in a civilian trial? Because as we did in Nuremberg, shows that we're not the other guys.
Thank you. My dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg and a Republican, and that's what I don't understand is, are there some things that, you know, American ideals that are just up for negotiation? All right. You've heard all these Rahm Emanuel stories, right, coming out of I don't know. It's palace intrigue, I guess, that, you know, he was the one saying this is never going to happen with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, so we shouldn't have gone on record with that or whatever. But the president said don't get absorbed in the Washington finger pointing and intrigue because, you know, no drama Obama or
whatever.
This is what Washington does, David Axelrod said. It gets itself into a tizzy. There aren't 10 people outside of Washington who give a rat's ass about any of this. They've got bigger stuff to worry about. The same people who are all in a tizzy right now are the same people who called us idiots for the better part of 2 years. That's the problem with stories like this, Jim. How do you know what's going on behind closed doors with Rahm Emanuel or whoever? And I don't know if Eric Mass is right that he's the, what does he say, the son of the devil spawn? You'd have to ask Dick Cheney if he's his son. Yeah, you see.
Here, we have that from Eric Massa.
Sure. Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive.
Oh, dear.
Not a steam locomotive, but...
Is that provable? We'll see if we get to that point on health care. Okay. I don't know if that's... All right. Because, Jim, you know, on the right and the left, as we just said, there are fine Americans. A group that includes leading conservative lawyers and policy experts, Ken Starr, whom one would never think they would see on Olbermann's show, but was on last night. Several officials of the last... I need my fine American music.
Thank you.
Of the last Bush administration is denouncing a shameful Republican attacks on lawyers who came to the Obama Justice Department after representing suspected terrorists. You see, Jim, we have a system of...
Right.
It's called justice, and that's why there's a Justice Department. It is American. It is not Republican or Democratic.
When you're a defense attorney, you take on unpopular cases sometimes, but they have a right to a fair trial in this country.
Liz Cheney, who we know for sure is the devil spawn, has a little group called Keep America Safe. Senate Republicans have demanded...
Keep America Stupid. I think you were about... almost said the right thing.
Keep America Safe labeled a group of these lawyers the Al-Qaeda 7, and it has provoked a backlash from across the legal establishment. We consider these attacks both unjust to the individuals in question and destructive of any attempt to build lasting profession. Mechanisms for counterterrorism educations. The statement cited John Adams' defense of British soldiers charged in the Boston Massacre to argue that zealous representation of unpopular clients is an important American tradition. Mm-hmm. The attacks on lawyers undermine the justice system more broadly by delegitimizing any system in which accused terrorists have lawyers, whether civilian courts or military tribunals. It really is amazing. I was saying earlier, Chuck Grassley really has kind of said... This is, he wants you, the Justice Department, to reveal the number of appointees who represented or advocated for detainees. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
And then confirm their names to Fox News. I have a list here on Fox News.
Of 200 lawyers or communists and pro-Al-Qaeda, whatever. But they'd rather have kangaroo courts, apparently.
I guess
Soviet Union,
Guess the American justice system not so good anymore. Yeah. Mm. All right. So we've been talking a lot about teabagging lately. What?
No.
Well, Charlie
Crist
is getting teabagged.
Absolutely. And he gets teabagged quite a bit.
But here are the actual fun facts. And I've said this, that I think, some of the anger out there is legitimate. But they're good points today in a story. But as spirited political movements have shown in the past, translating passion and activist fury into votes can be difficult. So far, success in the ballot box has been elusive for these grassroots conservative activists, if not entirely non-existent. Exactly. And in many places has imploded entirely. So before we all get, terrified, and as I mentioned, the Democrats' puss factor earlier in the show.
Right.
They haven't had a lot of success. I mean, Scott Brown went out of his way to say the Tea Party had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, from Texas to Illinois to upstate New York, a string of lackluster showings for Tea Party-linked candidates have highlighted a central question about the group's future. Some observers have raised the question whether the Tea Party crowd is out to achieve electoral success or whether it's more influential as a radical guerrilla movement. Maybe they just want to yell about stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just the pro-loud, angry, yelling party. It's
They did manage to get a candidate in, they turn on him in a heartbeat.
I know. Well, in Tuesday's Texas Republican primary, Tea Party-inspired contenders found themselves blown out in races across the state. Gubernatorial candidate Deborah Medina, she aligned herself with the teabagger. She picked up just 19% of the vote. While a host of House GOP incumbents faced challenges from Tea Party opponents, the only one who faced anything remotely close to a scare was Representative Ralph Hall, who dispatched his nearest competitor by nearly 30 points.
Huh.
In last month's Illinois primary, Tea Party favorite Patrick Hughes won just 19% against Mark Kirk in the Senate primary. On and on. In November, Doug Hoffman, we all know what happened in upstate New York.
Right.
One of the things they're talking about, it's fundraising in Texas. None of them, the challenging time, because Ron Paul, they were going to teabag him, but none of them could raise anywhere near, because Sarah Palin took all their money. So they have... That's why they're like, what? Where's all our... Oh,
she seems to be good at getting paid for stuff.
Well, yeah, that seems to be her main skill thus far.
And also, the teabag party, they tend to be anarchists. And anarchists, by their very definition, can't organize worth a damn.
Wait a minute, that's our thing, Democrats.
Yeah, I know.
We're disorganized.
They're even less organized than we are.
That's our thing.
Anarchists for chaos. Unite. No, we won't. Shut up. Now you unite.
Bad spellers of the world, untie. What?
Morans.
Okay. Morans.
But the other side of that is the libertarian wing of the Tea Partiers, which is kind of where it started. And if they make Ron Paul a legitimate third-party candidate, that is really bad for Republicans.
Yes, and we would hate that.
Yes, so don't do that, whatever you do.
Speaking of Caribou Barbie, she's raising money for her friend John McCain. She'll be courting contributions for John McCain on March 23rd as part of her swing through Arizona to aid his reelection campaign, which may go as well as it did in upstate New York. Sarah Palin comes and lends her special touch.
She's a swinger.
Oh, boy. Speaking of McCain, Karl Rove said he had nothing to do with that whisper campaign during the 2000 Republican presidential primary.
Which means he was behind it completely.
Yes, he said he had nothing to do with it. Uh-huh. He said it's the kind of thing the media love, these kind of allegations. Oh, please, you are the original...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
And then, oh, we'll get to that tomorrow. He had the audacity. Did you see his interview on the Today Show?
What?
This is wrong, this kind of thing, people targeting people's families. Oh,
what?
Please. He made a career out of it.
That takes
because
way
Matt
most
Lauer brought up that his father had the gay on him. Yes.
Mm.
And that's despicable to bring up that sort of thing, apparently. All right, that's it for us. 58 minutes after the hour. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.